Loud and Clear.
Welcome back to Loud and Clear. I'm John Kiriakou in studio with my co-host Brian Becker. An announcement by North Korea that it had developed an unspecified new tactical weapon is causing controversy. The Hawkish Center for Strategic and International Studies think tank said this week that they had discovered 13 supposedly secret North Korean missile development sites. President Trump, however, said that he's known about these sites for a long time. Is the intelligence community trying to sabotage the Korean peace talks? We're joined from Columbus, Ohio by Gregory Ehlich. He's a member of the Solidarity Committee for Democracy and Peace in Korea and the author of Strange Liberators, Militarism, Mayhem, and the Pursuit of Profit. And we're joined here in the studio by Walter Smolarek. He's a Sputnik News analyst and one of the producers of this show. Welcome back.
Thank you for inviting me. Nice to join the show again.
We're happy to have you. A couple of interesting things here. First of all, let's talk about this new tactical weapon. It was funny to me. It really does appear to be tactical. It appears to be a multi-firing artillery weapon, which means that it doesn't violate any agreement that North Korea may have with anybody, the United States or South Korea, yet it was front page news in the American papers. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, so I mean, there's a good deal of speculation about the exact nature of it, but as you say, it's clearly a tactical weapon, artillery related, which means it's entirely irrelevant to the subject of denuclearization agreements. In fact, it's not only not part of an agreement, but there's also no UN resolution banning North Korea from developing a tactical weapon. I think the Washington establishment is grabbing at straws, anything they can to try and sabotage negotiations between the U.S. and North Korea. And in a case like this, it's irrelevant, but it's not portrayed as irrelevant. So they're trying to frame the whole issue that North Korea can't be trusted. Look at they're developing this weapon, new weapon. It's a complete fabrication of the issue.
Greg Ehlich is our guest. Greg, this is a pretty remarkable double standard, right? I mean, the United States military has by far, by like a lot, by multiple times, the largest military budget in the world, well over $600 billion. They're constantly developing new weapons. They have the most advanced military industrial complex in the world. But we never see headlines about, oh, Pentagon unveils dangerous new weapon, right? I mean, when we do see headlines about it, it's about, you know, it's laudatory. It's about how cool and great they are. Remarkable, isn't it?
It is remarkable. And if you look at U.S. Department of Defense documents, they're talking about trying to enhance the lethality of their weapons. And they're constantly developing new weapon programs and firing off ballistic missiles, too, which is something that they condemn North Korea for doing. I'd like to point out also that if you take into account that U.S. nuclear weapons program is actually funded by the Department of Energy, and you combine that part of the Department of Energy's funding with the Defense Department funding, as well as the operations in Iraq, which I believe are still off the DOD budget, the U.S. is spending more on the military than the rest of the world combined. But as you say, it's a remarkable double standard. North Korea, the entire GDP of North Korea is actually less than Vermont, which ranks last among U.S. states. The imbalance is quite extreme.
Well, speaking of missiles, I mean, CSIS came out with this new report. They said, you know, they've uncovered these secret hidden missile bases in North Korea. And that generated headline. I mean, that was big news in the United States. Tell us your thoughts on that, you know, revelation or maybe not so new revelation.
Yeah, so if you look at the Center for Strategic International Studies report, actually most of the report is just describing the buildings that they're identifying in the various photos. The photos, by the way, are from March 29th, which is prior to the June 12th summit between Kim and Trump. So I think it's irrelevant whatever activities they say are going on. But even then, they're saying that they're just showing the last 5 years shows only minor infrastructure changes to the base. These bases that they claim to have identified 13 bases. These are nothing new. South Korea and the United States Intelligence Service are both saying that they've been aware of these for some time. The report claims that these are undeclared missile operating bases. Well, North Korea has no obligation to declare its missile bases. It's never agreed to do so. That has yet to be negotiated. And in fact, no nation has an obligation to declare its missile bases to the United States. So that's a complete red herring in that particular issue that they're raising.
Well, I wanted to actually ask you about that because that's what struck me when I read these reports this morning in the Washington Post and the New York Times. Why is this news? The North Koreans are not under any obligation to report these issues to the United States or the United Nations or any other body. So why is this news?
I think the Washington establishment is actually the New York Times report kind of hinted at that the concern when they quoted Victor Cha, who is actually a senior advisor and Korea chair at the CSIS, and he said, what everybody is worried about is that Trump is going to accept a bad deal. They give us a single test site and dismantle a few other things. And in return, we get a peace agreement. And of course, what's wrong with that, right? The U.S. would only have to acknowledge that, yeah, the Korean War ended 65 years ago, and in return, North Korea dismantles part of its program. I think the Washington establishment is in a bit of a panic because, let's face it, Trump is extremely unpredictable. You don't know what he's going to do. And they're worried that he won't stay with the program of basically imperialist confrontation and pressure, and that he might actually negotiate a peace and denuclearization agreement with North Korea that would be fair-minded. Of course, that's not the approach Trump is actually taking. Trump is demanding that North Korea completely denuclearize without receiving anything in return except additional sanctions. Even so, the Washington establishment is still in a panic that he might settle for something more reasonable.
Yeah, and Donald Trump actually did come out and publicly address these reports saying that, well, look, I mean, we knew about these. This is not news to us. But it is really remarkable, his turnaround, because, you know, when he was addressing the United Nations, I mean, you could argue he basically threatened to commit genocide against North Korea, right? He said, we will completely annihilate you, or something to that effect, or totally destroy, you know, something that, like, a really unprecedented threat at a venue that's supposed to be about peace and diplomacy. But then, you know, less than a year later, just a few months later, he's initiating these, well, he's not really initiating them, but, you know, he's participating in these historic peace talks. What do you attribute that turnaround to?
I believe it was actually mostly due to Kim Jong-un determination to try and change the direction of relations between the United States, because let's face it, it couldn't go much farther down the path it was going without a tragedy arising. So he made unilateral concessions, and then South Korean President Moon Jae-in was receptive to some of these contacts from North Korea, including North Korean delegation to the Olympics. So anyways, North Korea has made some pretty significant unilateral goodwill gestures without receiving anything in return. So, for instance, it's implemented a freeze on nuclear tests and on missile tests. It's destroyed its nuclear test sites, so it can no longer conduct any nuclear tests whatsoever. And it's in the process of dismantling its Soha missile launch site. So I think that North Korea presented Trump with the opportunity to actually achieve denuclearization, and he took it. You know, it's basically North Korea put this on the table and said, here, we can give you everything you want if you're willing to talk about it.
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable. And now, you know, there's talk about another high profile summit like the Singapore summit between Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un coming up.
And what would be accomplished at a summit like that? It seems like we took this giant leap forward and then we've taken a whole bunch of little steps backwards since the Singapore summit. So at another summit, which the president keeps talking about happening in the relatively near future, what would be accomplished at something like that?
Well, that remains to be seen, and I imagine that there are behind-the-scenes talks going on to prepare the way for that. Right now, there's a basic stalemate because the United States is not willing to relent on easing on sanctions. In fact, it's talking about adding more sanctions and has continued to add more sanctions to North Korea, and it's Trump and his administration, officials like Bolton and so forth, are saying that no sanctions relief is in store for North Korea until denuclearization is finally complete. But that's a non-starter as far as North Korea is concerned. It wants a step-by-step process of mutual actions. So you give us something, you know, we give you something. So I think the summit is hopefully going to iron out that discrepancy between the two approaches. Otherwise, this is not going to go anywhere. And one of my concerns is that, as the New York Times report indicated, the North Korea has yet to take the first step toward denuclearization, which is providing a list of its nuclear sites. Well, nobody said that's the first step. That's yet to be determined what the first step is. But the Washington establishment is insisting that North Korea has to identify all of its sites. And North Korea is reluctant to do so because once it does that, that would allow U.S. military to plot the bombing coordinates of each site. Well, without the United States supplying a security guarantee in exchange, I think North Korea would be foolish to make that as a first step. It needs some kind of security guarantee in place or nearly in place before it can reveal where each of its sites are at.
You get no disagreement here. We're going to have to leave it there. We were joined from Columbus, Ohio by Gregory Ilitch. He's a member of the Solidarity Committee for Democracy and Peace in Korea. And he's also the author of Strange Liberators, Militarism, Mayhem, and the Pursuit of Profit. And we were joined here in the studio by Sputnik News analyst and producer Walter Smolarek. You're listening to Loud and Clear. Stay tuned. We'll be back after a short break.
Loud and Clear.